Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vision is often one of those lofty ideals that thought leaders throw out from their ivory towers and expect others to deliver on. But in reality, it's actually something incredibly important to the successful growth of a business.
Getting everyone on the same bus and agreeing on the route takes skill, energy, and, well, belief. But what is vision and why is it important?
I'm Joe Glover, founder of The Marketing Meetup, a global community that connects and educates over 36,000 marketers in the most lovely way possible. Everything we do it to put the human beings we help first.
I'm Richard Wood. I lead the marketing agency Six & Flow. I've worked in marketing for around 20 years now, and I'm a massive believer that marketers should be trying to engage with people on a human level, not just treating them as leads and numbers on a spreadsheet.
You made that introduction so much easier for you than you did for me.
You chose the first two sentences. I'm just saying.
I didn't read them. I didn't read them. Unbelievably, we have some things to work through today. So let's start with number one, which is, what is vision to you?
So I think probably best place to start is the backstory of where vision started to come into play for Six & Flow. So we had, we had shared values, right? So we had a consultant. So Roger came in, worked with, I think there were only six of us in the business at that point, and we did an all day session of where we came up with our joint values. So what are the things that we believe in? What do we want to be? But there was no kind of, here is the end point, here's where we're trying to get to. Not even an end point, but the milestones, the direction, none of that was kind of built in it. It was more about who we wanted to be as an organization. And it wasn't until we started to bring in the EOS operating, the framework. So it's an entrepreneur's operating system. It's a lot of agencies use it as a framework to grow the business. It's quite a good operating system, depending on the size of the business and stuff like that. But anyway, a big part of that is having the vision of where you want to get to the business. And then that builds into the traction. So where are you trying to get to? Where are you now? And what are you doing to get to that point? And it wasn't until we started doing that that I started to realize that my understanding of what our vision is as a business actually wasn't, not that there was a kind of a juxtaposition or any friction around it. It's just people just assumed in the business that I had a vision and that they were on this kind of journey in a grandiose, wanky term, but were heading in the same direction, but they didn't really know what the direction was. And it wasn't until that point that I actually realized, fuck, I have not done my job as a business leader of actually sharing what that vision is, because the whole point in having a vision is so that people know where you're going, they can push in the same direction, and they know whether or not it is the right thing for them. Are they agreeable with where it's going, or are they not? And that's, I think, when a business has a shared vision, it's something that everybody can kind of get behind and believe in. And that starts to play into the stuff of what is it, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If you start to look at it, that kind of thing, I can't even remember what they are. I did it at university, but the self-actualization, all that kind of shit. But I think that is where you start to get things where people in their career, money is important, absolutely. Status is important as well.
Status
is important as well. But I think actually believing in the businesses that you are is incredibly important. And actually, I would even double down on that now that the world is mostly remote. Having a shared vision actually helps when you're all kind of sat separately from each other as well. So that's my view on vision. Nice. And obviously it was beautifully concise as ever. What's yours?
I think it's very similar. I think I like how you pointed out the difference between values and vision in the sense that One feels like the now and one feels like the future. I think that is essentially the difference of what we're speaking to here. Interestingly, you know, I always have this thing with TMM, you know, everyone always asks the question, you know, where's it going to be in 5 years? And I think until maybe sort of 12, 18 months ago when I started, ironically as well, sort of having external people actually come in and sort of like help on the business one way or another, I was like, I don't know, we're just having fun at the moment, you know, whereas I think it does become more important as you bring more people into the business, because I think there was something in your story there, which was like, you kind of had a sense of what it was in your head, but you needed to articulate it for the team. And so I wanted to ask you that question, actually, like, did you know what it was, or did you just have like a feeling somewhere, somehow, that like Six and Flow was going to be going somewhere? Or did you actually need to go through that process of trying to discover and articulate your vision at some point, because you actually didn't really know what it was?
It wasn't concise, and it wasn't articulate in terms of, like, there was no, these are the exact things. We've had different things at different stages that have been, that have helped with that, particularly. So when I first started the agency, my North Star, my vision was to create an agency that if I didn't own it, I'd want to work for it. That was the vision. And that was, It was one of those nice lofty ambitions that you start off with, you put out some press releases, but it has always been our, since day one, that is the undercurrent of what we've tried to build. That then morphed into, we have this culture of being a team first agency. So the team, the most important part of the business for all manner of reasons. And that's not just a softly kind of like, we love people, like we want to build like a soft organization. There are some genuine commercial impacts to doing that. Yes, we love the people in the organization, but there is some real valid commercial reasoning behind that as well. And that is how we have kind of built. So we've gone from being somewhere we want to work to being team first. And then it wasn't until we started to get to the latter stages of like the business, I would say only for the last 3-4 years have we had like an articulated, we want to get to this milestone, this point, like here is, we want to have this amount of headcount, we want to have this amount. And headcount is a really, like, that's not actually part of our vision. That's more of a, we think this is where the headcount will be when we want to get to this kind of revenue. So we've got our revenue goals. We've got, we want to be in this region. We've got certain accolades and awards that we want to have ticked off. We want to be the number one in this space. Like that kind of stuff has been part of that vision. And now, like, that's extended and it drives. So I would say we have more glass ceilings we want to break than kind of, you talked about a 5-year plan. That stuff makes my skin crawl, because I'm like, if I looked at where we were after our first 5 years, there's no way in hell I would have been able to plan that from when we started. And from 3 to 8, where we are now, again, it's totally changed. But we do 12 months and we do 3 years, and then we have a 5-year that is kind of like, well, we think that's roughly the direction, but that's not how we communicate that vision. The vision that we communicate back to the team is, like, every 6 months we have a big company-wide all hands where we talk about, like, reiterating the vision or the plans that we've set out and what we want to be as an agency. And, like, so the last time we did one of our goals is, so we are in the position now where we are transitioning from, in our ecosystem, we're transitioning from being the challenger brand to being the incumbent brand. And by doing that, what I didn't want to become was fat and lazy in, like, where we are. And then, because you immediately fall back down. Our vision is that we approach everything as the challenger brand, despite being the incumbent. That is where, like, I want us to sit. We want it to be a household name for SaaS brands if they are talking about their go-to-market strategy. We want it to be the number one in the HubSpot ecosystem. Like, all of these things. That is the kind of the granular side of the vision. But there is also then, I think, vision, I'm waffling a bit, but, like, the vision, again, it depends on who you are talking to and how you're articulating it, because there are different bits that different people are aligned to. For us, we want to create this team first agency that is like a powerhouse in the GTM space. And that's great. But there are elements of that that people will engage with more. So like some people might engage with the fact that like we are the next milestone we're aiming for is like a 20 million turnover. The lofty ambition is to get to 100 million turnover. That is like the big goal. Like it is a tough goal, mm-hmm. but that's where we're heading. And that's that kind of vision with kind of actual factual numbers around it really works for others. Other people start within the organization will be much more bought into the, we are building something that is centric around our team and delivering great service to our customers. And we're kind of proving that we can do one while doing the other as well. So that's, I don't know if that really kind of answers the question you asked. I don't remember what the question was.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really interesting because I guess when walking into this conversation, then I think about vision and as close to a vision statement as I, and I say I quite consciously here, because I think I'm still in that stage where I haven't necessarily articulated it to the team in such a way. And actually the interesting part of all of it is like, I think TMM has grown on a set of values and that's almost been like intrinsically enough to a certain extent, but there isn't that end point. The vision statement that we've got, or I've got, sorry, in my head is sort of like, no marketer is left unwillingly alone, you know, and then it sort of speaks to like this grand sort of thing, which is at the end of the rainbow or in the world that we want to create, this is the vision. So no marketer is left unwillingly alone, you know, and that speaks to some of your answer, I think, because when you sort of spoke about different people will take different things from your vision, I think, you know, that sort of grand statement can be taken in so many ways that you can work towards that one way or another, and it's a motivating way. What is interesting for me is that you speak about vision, but then you started to bring in elements of goals as well, and sort of like speaking about different goals at different stages of the businesses as well. So when you also mentioned the 12-month vision, so are you speaking about, when you speak about vision, do you start from a place of like, this is a long, long way away, in the same way as I've just spoken about the marketing meetup sort of long-term vision statement, you know, no marketers left alone? Or do you literally just have like a 12-month vision of, this is the agency that we want to be in 12 months?
So we do it ass about tit. Like we do it the way we're not supposed to do it. We we go it, which kind of obviously makes sense. We start shorter and go longer. We start with our values. So the values, and every quarter as a leadership team, we come together and go, are these values still what we think they should be? Are there any challenges with that? Yeah. And sometimes we debate some around them, but we haven't ever changed them since they started, but we do constantly discuss them. And that's like, because one of our it's not a core value, but one of our kind of ethoses within the organization is this culture of being able to challenge each other and everything that we do. Just because we've done it that way doesn't mean we're always going to do it that way. So we start off with those core values, then we start to build it into, okay, there's a bit of realism that comes into it as well. We're like, okay, what did we achieve last year? What do we think we could achieve this year? And starting to, so pre one of these meetings, we start to think out, okay, if we bring in another salesperson, if we grow the marketing team, if we build up on the delivery side, what does that mean for these different things? Is that replicable? Do we have the systems and processes in place to be able to support that growth? And then we get to the point of going, okay, in 12 months, we think this is the growth that we should be able to achieve. And that would be X percent growth. We then use that as a means to bring in some of those goals as well. And the goals for us are rarely number-based. They are more, like for us, they're more vision. The numbers are like kind of part of the vision, but it is more like we want to be an organization where people can learn and grow within the organization, and where individuals are pushed to the forefront. So, and this, some of this stuff comes back to, like, you and I have always talked about this, like personal brand, business brand, like how the two have started to diverge, or like one is relying on the other for where we are in our businesses and like careers. And I think some of that is kind of driven by like personal desires, not for me to be in that position, but like it's what I want for like me. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. So let's make that available for others. And one of our core values is growth. So I want people to feel like they can grow within the organization. So we kind of, in answer to your question, we start with 12, then we build the goals out around that. And then we start to look at, okay, 3 and then 5. But the five uh-huh. is done with a, okay, well, let's take the growth that we, so if we, between, so last year we did 41% growth. This year we're planning to do similar numbers again. And so what does that mean across the organization? What would we have to have in place? Okay, so then year three, we start to tail it down. So like year-on-year growth does start. I'm not a kind of a complete nutcase. Like I do, I'm aware the bigger we get, the higher percentages are harder. But then when we go from like three to five, it's kind of, there is an element of like finger in the air, particularly in our industry, right? Because like in the last 6 months, we have had the meteoric rise of like ChatGPT, like GA4 mm-hmm. is coming into play in earnest now. We've had like all of these, like they're not catastrophic, they're great changes in the industry, but all of these fundamental changes in the way that marketers work and like the stuff that they can work with is changing. So like, how could I possibly go, yeah, in 5 years, my organization is just gonna look like this? Because actually my organization doesn't look a lot like it did 5 years ago, because we've new services, new tools, different ways of working. So yeah,
I love that, because I think it's just a different way about going about the same thing, really, which is for me one of the primary benefits of vision one way or another is being able to tell the story, you know, being able to take, you know, and you've spoken to it already, you know, so I'm not introducing anything too new to the conversation here, but like being able to sit down with the team or potential clients or whoever they are and sort of say, well, you know, this is where we are, but this is also where we're going. And if you would like to be on that journey with us one way or another, then sort of like now's your opportunity one way or another, because, you know, almost with any vision, I don't think many people will go, our vision is to be smaller or less significant than we were this time last year.
You say that though, but there are plenty of businesses who do want to downscale or do want to cap it and be comfortable where they are. So like that, and that is a valid vision. But like to your point, I think the vision, what people get from vision is direction and commonality. Yeah. And by commonality, I mean like common goals, common language, like common objectives. Yeah. And it starts to mm-hmm. be able to, it becomes a, if you know where you're going and you know mm-hmm. your role within that journey, you can start to make decisions and be more effective without having to be micromanaged, without being told, because you can start to go, okay, is what I'm doing going to affect the overall vision and goals of the business, and therefore like my mm-hmm. my personal input into that or contribution should mm-hmm. look like this. And that's where that stuff starts to come back in. And I think that's the important bit. But also, like, and you guys do this incredibly well, is the storytelling. Like, the positively lovely. And every time, I know I sound super patronizing when I'm like, raise it, but like the positively lovely element of what TMM is, there is a beautiful story behind that. And I can't even count the amount of times I've heard it of Joe going to an event. Joe didn't like going to the event. He left within, was it 2 minutes or something like that? Because And that's see, I'm already like, I've taken that story and made it like way worse, but obviously. Yeah. But that
Hollywood. Yeah,
but that is also my wife's name. That story is something people can get behind, and people then, I think there's an intrinsic understanding of, this is the journey. This is why we are here. This is the vision of what this is. And I think that's vision, storytelling, goals becomes this big kind of like globe of like, here is who we are as a business and what we're trying to do.
Definitely. No, I couldn't agree more. It kind of sits on top of everything, right? You know, if you kind of get your vision, then you can build your strategy, which builds your goals, which builds your tactics, you know, one way or another. You know, it sounds very hierarchical, and it's not supposed to sound, you know, I like your big globe analogy more than I do a hierarchy, but it's useful. So we touched on this a little bit at the beginning, but I think both of us as founders, as much as we are marketers, we've both thrown a lot of our personal selves into our businesses and how we've chosen to grow it. How do you balance your personal vision versus the business vision? Because presumably a lot of your identity is wrapped up in, you know, what we've built.
I think this is something that I get wrong or I struggle with. You and I have talked about this loads, sometimes on the podcast and sometimes just generally, but that's, I who I am and kind of my career, my positioning, and how we have built Six and Flow to a point has often been built in either in my image or is aligned with my personal goals. So like, and the problem I have is I can't articulate what those personal goals are for you. If you were to talk to me, okay, what are your personal goals, your career goals? They're the same thing. Like
some people just want to watch the world burn, Rich. So,
and I'm not even just, like I had a discussion with so when I was doing the PhD years ago, I had a discussion with one of the lecturers, and I was like, "What is the?" And they go through, when you go into higher education, they make you learn how to learn, like as in like the research methodologies and shit like that. And I was like, "What is the methodology where you break things to understand how they fit together?" And they were like, anarchy? I was like, but that is how I understand things. But that is an entire side story from what I was trying to tell Andrew. You've thrown me off my track entirely.
Well, I mean, presumably the point of that story was that you got a PhD, which I didn't know about. So
I left after 3 years because if you want to take any fun out of something that you are passionate about, go and do a PhD on it because it makes it boring as shit.
I love that. Well, the track you were on was personal identity versus sort of business identity and separating.
And like what I'm trying to get at is that for me, this is what I get wrong. Like I don't have personal ambitions or personal goals. And I've started working with a coach who you introduced me to, who is helping me discover about what those kind of things are. And what that means for kind of how I work within the business and what I'm trying to get towards, because it is difficult where like I don't have a personal vision, but we have a business vision, and I think I'm relying on that. So like where the business feels like it has direction, sometimes I can feel rudderless in that kind of space as well, kind of going from thing to thing to thing. And actually coming back to some of our earlier points is the other thing that vision does is it enables you to say no to the things that fall outside of that as well. Whereas like my mentality is often to magpie, like, ooh, shiny thing, let's go play with that, let's try that. And
no,
I know sometimes it's hard to understand these things, but I am imperfect at points. But it is like having a vision or having a direction, it much easier to go, that doesn't fit with what we're trying to do, so we're not gonna do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, so when I was doing some tech startup stuff like many moons ago, that was one of the things that like every investor or every advisor have laser focus on where you're going. Like, what are you trying to do? Fuck everything else off. If it is falls outside of that, ignore it, because otherwise you will just go from thing to thing to thing to thing.
Well, that's the Michael Porter quote about strategies. Strategy is choosing what not to do as much as it is choosing what to do.
And that's important in marketing, right? Because we could do a lot of cool shit and play with a lot of cool toys, but actually what's actually going to like return that value? And it might be the boring as shit email nurture campaigns that actually like you have just gone, that's not sexy, but actually that's probably going to return you a load of value. And it's that kind of mentality of, okay, my strategy, what is the vision, what are we trying to achieve, okay, what are the strategic elements that are going to help us achieve that with the the lowest investment of time, effort, money, all that kind of stuff, how do we then bring that in? But that is still vision based.
Absolutely. No, bang on. You can tell you've had your coffee today.
I know,
mate.
I'm sorry. I did warn you beforehand.
Did it's good, it's very very good. Let's wrap up because we've got one main question left, which is how to create a vision. Oh, by the way, before I ask this question, I just want to say thank you for sharing about the sort of coaching stuff. I think that's really cool that you're on that journey, and like I think it's really good. I'd be interested to find out more about that as we go.
So I coach agencies. I now have a coach, and I have two mentors as well, and all of those like fulfill different kind of needs in different areas, and I think it's a good mix. It's almost like a personal board of directors, if that makes sense.
It's great. No, it makes a lot of sense. It sounds really really useful. I think we should focus on that another time, because I think there's a lot of rich conversation that can come from that. God, that was very horrible. Anyway, let's go on to the last question, which is how to create a vision that actually matters. Because I think the danger with any vision is that it sits in a document somewhere, and that's it. And so some of the lessons that I've sort of taken on board from you, I think the lovely, probably one of the most lovely things is when you spoke about when you sit down with your senior leadership team and you actually review it regularly and sort of like have conversation. It's not just something which is like, yep, we've done it, on to the next thing. It's like, we're going to keep on coming back to this. But how did you, in the first instance, start to articulate those sort of, that sort of idea of what the vision is, and how did you start to make it actually sort of really matter in Six and Flow?
I think the honest answer is, like, I don't have a framework or anything like that that I can give you, and kind of I don't even remember the process. But what we did start out with was those values, and then that gave us the identity, and then we started to talk about direction and where we wanted to head, and that starts to lay the foundations of everything else that come into that. Okay, what do we need to achieve to get there? What do we need to look like as an organization, as a leadership team, as a company as a whole? Then we can start to build on those building blocks. But I think the most important, and like when you're asking the question, like how to create a vision that matters, I think the first thing you need to understand is, like, who's the vision for? And like, as in, are you building a vision for you internally to have as your North Star, or is this for like an external vision? Like, is it, and equally, are you ready to actually have a vision that means something across the business, or is this just a PR stunt? Or like, I think, and that, like, and I'm not saying either is more or less valid, like, but I think if it is a PR piece, then it's a very different kind of an external vision, which admittedly is going to get you in hot water at some point because something will cross and you'll get pulled up on it or whatever. But I think it is a very different entity, and you are appealing to external people, and you are effectively kind of telling them like where you sit in the business and how you want to be perceived. Whereas an actual vision, I think, is much more like that team alignment. You're all pointing in the same direction, and that then feeds into that wider like go to market vision as well.
Yeah, no, I like that, and I think it's important that you didn't give a framework in one way or another. Certainly, when I went through my process of trying to figure out this stuff, then it was a lot of internal introspection, really, and I think that was probably allowed and facilitated because that was the stage of the business that we were at. You know, it was like, you know, it was primarily me at that stage. Over the course of time, like, I loved your point there where you sort of said, think about who it's for. And so if I was doing this process again, like, I'd be asking the organisers, the community, you know, like, you know, what is it that we want to shape? And that's specifically because community is this co-created experience more than a company is, which can be sort of a bit more hierarchical, you know, direction is set from the top, so to speak. So
I'm actually going to contradict myself quickly. When I said that, like, the five-year stuff doesn't really matter, I think when we talk about personal vision, and even as a starting point, like, if you sit down with your leadership team, your board or whatever, and you're going through one of these processes, sit down with the main question of, what would I be happy with if in 5 years' time we achieve that point? Like, where do we need to be in 5 years for me to go, yeah, I've ticked the personal boxes, I've achieved what I wanted to achieve. What does that need to look like? And that might be a revenue count. It might be a headcount number. It might be, for you guys, how many cities we're in, or how many, what do you call people that go to TMM? Like, lovelies, or like, whatever, lovelies, whatever. right, mate, lovely. But like,
but like, even my skin is crawling.
But that, like, those kind of things, if you go, okay, well, if we got to that point in 5 years, yeah, that's good. And that becomes a starting block of the conversation of, go, okay, what would we need to do to get to that point?
Yeah, bang on. I love it. Mate, we've had our requisite half an hour. So I'll bring it to a close, but it's nice to record again.
It is, mate. We should, we say this every time, we should do this more often.
Yeah, we should. I feel like, you know, occasionally when a Humans Come First episode lands in people's subscription bar, hopefully they go, oh, wait, they're doing that thing again. So, we'll see you again in another 9 months or something like that, probably.
No, I'm going to put dates in your diary for next week, Joe. All right.
No, that's fine.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Take care. Nice one.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.